Welcome, all you sinners and sodomites, to episode 68 of Bible Stories for Atheists. I am Josh.
I'm Linz.
And we are your guides to the testifiably tedious stories, littering the Bible. And in this episode, we're covering 1 Chronicles 22 through 29.
Yes.
That is so many chapters. Thankfully, there were several that I was like, this is what happened, and we skip.
Because it's a lot of accounting for things. Numbers.
Yeah. It's testifiably tedious. It's one of those episodes. But we're going to get through it. There's a few interesting things in there that we can, kind of talk about and get through. And we get to the death of David, according to the Book of Chronicles.
Yep.
So it's going to be an interesting
exciting
story.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Have fun.
Yeah. Have more fun than we did.
I feel like Josh had more fun because he's a huge nerd.
I am.
If you like to nerd out on the Bible with Josh as opposed to make fun of it like Lindsay, but still not take it seriously either way, then this is the episode for you.
Absolutely. So strap in and strap on for episode 68. Numbers and how to count them. So this is fun.
Weather.
Yeah. Anyway,
It looked like you were doing something. Yeah. So I wasn't, I was just waiting for you. Like, I didn't want to interrupt you if you were thinking.
No, not really.
Oh.
Previously on BSFA. Just going to start the episode
with that.
Let's do
it. Fucking go.
Turns out God and Satan are the same person.
Yep.
David bought the threshing floor where the giant angel stood and is going to put the temple there.
Right.
And that's what's going to be a big topic in this episode.
Splendid.
Yes. It's all about temples.
Temples.
Yes.
I can't wait.
Yeah. It's not even like cool temples, like Temple Grandin.
Or the Temple of Doom.
No. Temples by IKEA. Everything we're covering in this episode is going to be in 1 Chronicles, and we're wrapping up the book.
Ooh.
Yeah. None of these stories are found in the Book of Samuel at all.
Okay.
So
this is less of Chronicles, but we still have more Samuel to go?
No, we actually wrapped up Samuel.
Did we?
The last episode.
This is it.
That last episode was the last chapter of the
book. But it's not the end of David.
2 Samuel.
That
it's not the end of David. Not completely, no.
Okay.
No, we got a little bit more in Kings that we will cover next time. But then in this one, we're wrapping it up with Chronicles. With 1 Chronicles specifically. And just a reminder, I know I've said this several times, so if you're listening to these one after another, I'm sorry for saying it again. But the Book of Chronicles was written about 300 years after the books of Samuel's and Kings were compiled. The books of Samuel were probably from the time of David. So something that just kind of was really setting in for me today. I was actually recently watching a lecture by Dr. Joel Baden, where he pointed out how he thinks the stories of Samuel actually came from the time of David, which would have been about 700 years before Chronicles was written. Like, I don't know. It set in for me that for the person who wrote Chronicles, the chronicler, this really was already ancient history.
Right.
You know, this that's pretty significant. 700 years ago, writing about something now, 700 years ago.
Right.
Like, that's completely a different world.
Yeah, you know? I can't even 700 years ago.
So like the 1200s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That seems bonkers. I don't even know what was happening back then.
Right.
Jesus stuff still? I don't know.
1,200. I mean, then it was 1,200 years after Jesus.
So. Yeah, well.
Jesus stuff still. I mean, the church was probably doing a lot of stuff.
Right, that's
probably
what I
a
meant.
Lot of dark
when
stuff.
When I say Jesus stuff, I mean Christianity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Christianity. I feel like that was the Dark Ages.
Ah.
1,200 years ago. But yeah. So,
but could you imagine then taking that and writing a book and being like, this is it?
I thought I'd fill in some more details. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
God spoke to me.
Right. We're just going to clarify a few things about what happened 700 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. David gave orders to gather together the aliens who were residing in the land of Israel. And he set stone cutters to prepare dressed stones for building the house of God. David also provided great stores of iron for nails for the doors of the gates and for clamps, as well as bronze in quantities beyond weighing, and cedar logs without number. For the Sidonians and the Tyrians brought great quantities of cedar to David. For David said, "My son Solomon is young and inexperienced, and the house that is to be built for the Lord must be exceedingly magnificent, famous and glorious throughout all lands. I will therefore make preparation for it." So David provided materials in great quantity before his death. So the Bible says there's aliens.
I know. I mean, clearly they mean
Martians,
immigrants.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So it's interesting how he's gathering together the aliens.
I know.
Residing in the land because he needs to build a temple.
Yeah. And so since they're not natives.
Right.
To the land.
Yeah. I'm sure he's going to be paying them fair wage.
Yes. I'm sure he asked them nicely.
Yeah.
To do this.
Right.
But how many people out there do you think have created this whole belief structure that aliens existed and helped build the first temple because it says aliens?
I'm sure there are some people out there.
Do you think there's a cult? It feels like the perfect reason to start a cult.
The answer to that is always yes.
It feels like the perfect reason to start like a very specific like alien Christian cult.
Right.
Kind of like Scientology.
Like they've just decided in their minds that this passage actually means aliens
from space.
From space.
Yeah.
It's the only thing it could mean, even though they're not mentioned anywhere else in the Bible. That's all it takes for them to start up a cult around it.
There's like one passage in the Bible that says being gay is bad, and they seem to really have dug into that one.
Yeah,
they have. Why not this one?
Why not? Yeah. No, it says aliens, and that's what they were. I want to believe.
Right. My faith tells me
that
this is what it means.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit has flown through me and said, little green men built the temple.
And our Pope is David Duchovny. Again, David being a great guy to people, real model citizen to look up to.
Conscribed some foreigners to labor.
Yep.
To build God's house.
Uh-huh.
And got a lot of materials.
And that's honestly, like, strap in for a super exciting episode. Most of this episode is about the amount of materials that they gathered.
Oh, fun. So the aliens part is probably the most exciting thing.
It's pretty much up there. Yeah. I was thinking about basing the entire episode on just that one line. Then I was like, I gotta just actually cover where they talk about all the building materials.
Yeah.
Then he called for his son Solomon and charged him to build a house for the Lord, the God of Israel. David said to Solomon, "My son, I have planned to build a house to the name of the Lord, my God. But the word of the Lord came to me saying, 'You have shed much blood and have waged great wars. You shall not build a house to my name, because you have shed so much blood in my sight on the earth. See,
A son shall be born to you. He shall be a man of rest. I will give him rest from all his enemies on every side. Indeed, his name shall be Solomon, and I will give peace and quiet to Israel in his days. He shall build a house for my name. He shall be a son to me, and I will be a father to him. And I will establish his royal throne in Israel forever. Now, my son, the Lord be with you, so that you may succeed in building the house of the Lord your God, as he has spoken concerning you. Only may the Lord grant you discretion and understanding, so that when he gives you charge over Israel, you may keep the law of the Lord your God. Then you will prosper if you are careful to observe the statutes and the ordinances that the Lord commanded Moses for Israel. Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid or dismayed. With great pains, I have provided for the house of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold, 1,000,000 talents of silver, and bronze and iron beyond weighing, for there is so much of it. Timber and stone also I have provided. To these, you must add more. You have an abundance of workers, stone cutters, masons, carpenters, and all the kinds of artisans without number, skilled in working gold, silver, bronze, and iron. Now begin the work, and the Lord be with you.
It's interesting. Some things with number and some things without number.
Well, they just get tired of counting.
I guess so.
The thing he said to Solomon that God said, that was just something he was recounting? Did we have...
Apparently, yeah, because we never get that actual conversation.
Right.
Or anything, but...
I feel like God said something very similar specifically about David, too, right? Like, wasn't he when...
When Samuel was going to appoint him?
Yeah.
Might have been.
When he was dealing with the pretty boy and then the other king after that, and God was like, I hate both of these guys. There's a 12-year-old in this field over here who will be my son, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like there's a very similar sort of like, but I feel like God said stuff like that about a lot of people who have become king and then kind of goes back on it later.
He can.
It's so, like when the fresh new guy pops up, the new hot ticket, the new cover of Teen Beat magazine rolls up on the scene. God's
Timothy
like,
Chalamet.
Yeah, God's like, not you anymore, this one.
Yeah. Not you, Justin Taylor Thomas. Jonathan, you had a good run.
Jonathan Taylor Thomas. Come on now.
You had a good run, but now Timothy Chalamet is on the scene. 30 years ago.
You had a good run, you know, about 30 years ago.
Yeah. Sorry, Jonathan Taylor Thomas. You can't be in Dune.
He's like, I'm too old now. I don't want to.
I can play his dad. keeping in mind here, again, this is from Chronicles, 300 years later. So by this point, you know, they know what happens to Solomon. You know, they know that what. So that's
right.
I mean, it's not God saying this. This is the person who wrote Chronicles, knowing that Solomon ends up having peaceful years, that they don't have issues, writes that this was God's plan.
Yes.
That the reason why Solomon's going to be the one to build the temple is because
he's the one that built the temple.
He is the one who built the temple. And they just decided it's because he's has peace throughout those years. Yeah. And also here we're seeing that God has just decided that Solomon is going to be the next in line. And we never really got anything around that. Like he was something like the ninth in the line of succession.
Right.
And he's just jumped all the way back, all the way up.
Do we get that in Kings? Do you know?
I don't believe so. To my knowledge,
we don't get any of the...
To my knowledge, we're just jumping into Solomon. I don't know, though. So, like, next episode, we're going to kind of get a little bit of what this is, but it's going to be the Samuel King's version of it, but I don't think it's going to be.
Yeah. Well, that's disappointing. I was hoping for a real sort of like Succession.
I know.
Plot happening. It we got jumps. It a little bit when the one son tried to take over.
Yeah.
But
it says a lot though about like, well, what isn't in here?
Right.
Then,
yeah.
You know, like what was
there's
happening?
No way the next in line just kind of like was like, yeah.
Right.
Unless it was a whole like the fuck the one guy that was supposed to be king and decided he wanted to have sex with an American divorcee instead.
Oh, the
Edward.
In the Bible?
In England.
No, in England. Yeah. Oh, yeah. The Queen's uncle.
Yeah. Edward, right?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the chapter wraps up with this. David also commanded all the leaders of Israel to help his son Solomon, saying, "Is it not the Lord your God with you? Has he not given you rest on every side? For he has delivered the inhabitants of the land into my hand, and the land is subdued before the Lord and his people. Now set your mind and heart to seek the Lord your God. Go and build the sanctuary for the Lord God, so that the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and the holy vessels of God may be brought into the house built for the name of the Lord."
What are the other vessels?
Oh, that's a good question. And the holy vessels of God may be brought into the house. I don't know. God needs a lot of wine glasses or something.
I mean, the Holy Grail?
Yeah, no. That's a Jesus thing.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, no.
We bought into it for like a half second. Yeah. Just imagine
we don't know why, but this cup is going to be really important.
There must be like a lot of golems.
Golems, yeah. It's basically, I don't know what else it would be. There's right. Nothing that they've ever said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. We could have one and not even know it.
Right. It's probably Fabergé eggs.
I did buy that old metal candlestick from the antique store.
That was a vessel, a holy
that
vessel
of God.
That
could be a holy vessel of God.
Right.
You never know.
I mean, I'd love to see somebody prove it isn't. Blah, blah, blah.
Oh, that's...
bodes well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we start with this. When David was old and full of days, he made his son Solomon king over Israel. David assembled all the leaders of Israel and the priests and the Levites. The Levites, 30 years old and up, were counted, and the total headcount of men was 38,000. 24,000 of these, David said, shall have charge of the work in the house of the Lord. 6,000 shall be officers and judges, 4,000 gatekeepers, and 4,000 shall offer praises to the Lord with instruments that I have made for praise. And David organized them in divisions corresponding to the sons of Levi. Interesting how there's no problem with him counting people now.
Well, specifically Levites,
yeah,
which are the
priests, yeah.
So he's setting up the church. It sounds like to me.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's the temple, right? Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. And they're gonna get into this a little bit more.
I guess not the church. Well, it would be still be the church. I was thinking like it's definitely not the Christian church though, because they haven't gotten to Christianity yet.
Correct.
We're still in Judaism.
Correct.
It's nice that he didn't die. He made his son king before he died, so he could still.
Yeah, I'm sure there's nothing we're not hearing about that.
Rule through him while he's still alive.
He must have been like, if it was real that he actually did make him king before he died, he must have been like old and senile and had to be like,
maybe, or he was just like, I don't want to be the one doing most of the work. I just want to lounge around with my sexy ladies.
Yeah.
and like have some fun, but also be able to weigh in on important decisions still.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe. Maybe.
He did make all of the instruments that are used to
for praise.
Praise.
Yeah.
So I assume a bunch of acoustic guitars.
I really love the idea of
tambourine.
He was like, he wanted to have more time, so he's giving up being king, but he's taking the time to just make all the instruments.
Right.
But right. I like the idea of like they weren't any good, but nobody can say that right. to the king.
Yeah.
So a bunch everybody's
of recorders.
Yeah. No, it's like just a bunch of planks of wood with strings on, like tied to them.
Yeah.
Like there's clackers. No way to play it. I invented my own instruments.
Right. If you, if God is with you, you will know how to play it.
Right. Yeah. And if you don't, you die.
I think going forward, though, when people, when I talk about my age, I am going to say I am old
and full, and of,
full
days.
Of days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a nice way of putting it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm full of days.
Right. Just full to the brim with days.
Yeah.
And then we get a breakdown of the sons of Levi. And this is the start of the chapters of listing off names. So we're going to be skipping a lot of that stuff.
Okay, good.
Yes. These were the sons of Levi by the ancestral houses, the heads of families as they were enrolled according to the number of the names of the individuals from 20 years old and up who were to do the work for the service of the house of the Lord. For David said, "The Lord, the God of Israel, has given rest to his people, and he resides in Jerusalem forever." And so the Levites no longer need to carry the tabernacle or any of the things for its service. According to the last words of David, these were the number of the Levites from 20 years old and up. "But their duty shall be to assist the descendants of Aaron for the service of the house of the Lord, having the care of the courts and chambers and cleansing of all that is holy, and any work for the service of the house of God, to assist also with the rows of bread and choice flour for the grain offering and the wafers of unleavened bread, the baked offering, the offering mixed with oil, and all measures of quantity or size. And they shall stand every morning thanking and praising the Lord, and likewise at evening, and whenever burnt offerings are offered to the Lord on Sabbaths, new moons, and appointed festivals, according to the number required of them, regularly before the Lord. Thus they shall keep charge of the tent of meeting and the sanctuary, and shall attend the descendants of Aaron, their kindred, for the service of the house of the Lord." Really exciting stuff.
I didn't understand
about it. Yeah, I know.
Most of that.
So I had to break this down as well.
Okay.
And here's because it actually is kind of an interesting thing that's getting set up here, but it's hidden behind monotony.
Okay.
David is setting up a system for who is taking care of the temple at a given time, right?
Okay.
And what he's going to do is he's setting up these divisions, 24 divisions, of specifically the priests that are descended from Aaron. Okay. So Moses's brother,
yes.
Aaron, right?
Yes.
Now, Moses and Aaron were Levites. So anybody who's descended from Aaron is a Levite.
Sure.
Okay. But not all Levites
are descended from Aaron. Okay.
So the descendants from Aaron are going to be in charge of the temple throughout, and they're going to be divided up into 24 groups. Each group, I don't think it explicitly says this. A lot of people suggested though that it was going to be like one week twice a year, then they would take care of the temple. They would be in charge of the temple, that division, right?
Okay.
So I don't know how they got to that, but that's how they've decided. Some Christians have decided is how this was done.
I was like,
done.
They each get an hour a day.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So in theory, you know, that's what it is. There are some Christians out there I saw while researching this who have decided that they can figure out exactly when Jesus was born because I think it was that they could figure out exactly when Jesus was born based on figuring out when Nostradamus. I can't remember his name. I think it starts with an N though. Who was the dad of John the Baptist.
Okay.
Because he was at the temple when that story happens. They were able to like figure out, like reverse engineer, you know, when Jesus was born based on that. But it still is like, but it doesn't say anywhere that it's like 1 week,
right,
twice a year. Like, you know, it doesn't work. So yeah. Anyway, sorry. I'm going to cut all this out. It's all boring. None of this is really interesting.
That's not true.
Anyway.
This, you are speaking about it with excitement, Mitch, because you're a nerd.
Yeah.
And you did find it interesting. And I know for a fact that some of our listeners love to nerd out with you.
I know.
So don't say that it's boring because those nerds, you're going to make them angry.
That's fair. So this is the really crazy part about this is, so there's the descendants of Aaron. They divide them up into 24 groups. They're each going to take care of it. The rest of the Levites have to serve the Aaron descendants.
Okay.
So they've all been divided up into groups of 24 as well. So there's this hierarchy that they're setting up based on your genetics, who you were born to.
Interesting.
So it's like a caste system, right? You are destined when you're born that you, if you are a Levite but not descended to Aaron, you have to serve in the temple twice a year or something like that. And you have to serve the Aaron priests who are in charge of this whole thing. So that's what he's saying here, is he's laying that out. But again, this writings are coming 300 years after Samuel was written and 700 years after the events actually happened. Maybe this is the point of the whole book, is to say, no, Levites have to take care of the Aaronites, you know, the descendants of Aaron. That it's all about laying out who is going to be where in the hierarchy.
The whole book of Chronicles, the whole point of it is just for that.
Well, that's one of the things. That's one of two things. So there's that. And then also, as we're about to get into, it's listing off a lot of like how much gold, and we've seen a little bit of it, how much gold and silver and stuff was used in the temple. This was all written after the temple was sacked by the Assyrians, I think. The Assyrians or Babylonians. I can never remember which one. And then Cyrus the Great of Persia. So then Cyrus the Great of Persia takes over, like defeats the Babylonians or Assyrians or whoever it was, defeats them and decides like, all right, we're going to give all this stuff back to the Jewish people as well as like other people that they had taken out too. So what they're doing here is they're saying, oh, this is how much gold was there. This is how much gold and silver and bronze and cedar and all that kind of stuff. This is all the stuff that we had in that temple that got sacked. So that's what we're owed.
Gotcha.
You know?
Right.
And that's what it seems to be. Like, that's why I think they say that David bought the threshing floor where it was placed. Mm-hmm. They say this is how we bought that land, you know? It's all about claiming ownership to the stuff. So there may not have even been a temple. That's why, like, maybe there was, but maybe they didn't even actually have a temple. Maybe they just decided to pretend like there was one, change their writings around to make it seem like it was full of all this gold and silver and stuff like that, just so that they could get that money once Persia took over.
Right.
So, or, you know, God. There's also that possibility, I suppose.
No, that seems unlikely.
Yeah. Next chapter lists out groups of priests based on which son of Aaron they descend from that are supposed to take care of the temple and shifts, like we kind of talked about. The rest of the Levites are meant to support them. The chapter after that covers the temple musicians.
Ooh.
And we get this excerpt here. David and the officers of the army also set apart for the service the sons of Asaph and of He-Man. I don't know why I was struggling with pronouncing it. It's He-Man. And of Jeduthun, who should prophesy with lyres, harps, and cymbals. And I thought it was interesting that they used the word prophesy.
Yeah.
There, that you should prophesy. And it was like, well, what is prophesying then? Like, that's, you're not just telling the future, you know?
Right.
So
earlier they would only do it in fits.
Oh, when we were talking about, like, in the book of Acts. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Prophetic fits.
Yeah. Yeah. They went into prophetic frenzies.
That's what it is. Yeah. Frenzies.
Yeah.
You want to pull back on the frenzy and lean into the.
But they weren't really saying what, like, were they just spouting out, like, the lottery numbers for October 23rd, 1993 is going to be.
No, they never got into what the prophecies were.
No.
That would be a really interesting thing.
But is it that prophecy means something different than, like, predicting the future?
Yeah.
You know, that's always what we think of it as, but.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to look it up now?
I'm going to look up the dictionary definition of the word prophecy. Because I, of course, think of things like Nostradamus.
Right.
When I think of the word prophecy.
The Simpsons.
Right. Modern day Nostradamus.
Right.
Yeah, just as a prediction. Yeah, it is about predicting the future. Or telling people what should happen in the future. To speak as if divinely inspired. To give instruction in religious matters / preach to make a prediction. So it doesn't necessarily mean to make a prediction. It could also mean to preach.
Right. The next chapter appoints the gatekeepers. These are the people who are in charge of deciding if you're really into games or not. Also, he appoints treasurers, officers, and judges. The next chapter, again, skipping a lot.
Right.
Next chapter names all the military division commanders, the chief officers of each of the tribes of Israel, which was actually one interesting thing that you and I had talked about in a previous episode about the chiefs of the tribes, right? Well, it mentions them specifically here that they each had a chief officer.
Gotcha. So
a couple of things I noticed about this, though, is they list off all the tribes here. Well, there's two that are missing. Gad and Asher aren't mentioned here for some reason. Hmm. So just something I noticed. They listed off all the tribes. That's the thing that always weirds me out about it, is like, well, what the fuck happened to them?
Right. Then,
you know?
Yeah. Are they, is like nobody talking to them?
Right. Yeah.
Did they all get wiped out?
Like, yeah. Yeah. It is just,
were they like this whole thing where you guys split us into groups based on what person fucked what person back in the day is really fucked up and we're not going to do it anymore.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And then at the end, it says, these were the leaders of the tribes of Israel. David did not count those below 20 years of age, for the Lord had promised to make Israel as numerous as the stars of heaven. Joab, son of Zeruiah, began to count them, but did not finish. Yet wrath came upon Israel for this, and the number was not entered into the account of the annals of King David. And they weren't entered into King David's annals.
Annals.
Yeah.
Annals.
Pretty sure it's annals. I wrote it as annals.
So Joab started counting and he didn't finish, and God got mad that he didn't finish?
No.
Got mad that he was counting.
I read it like he did not finish so that God didn't get mad.
Oh.
Right. So, yeah, and that the number was, whatever he got to, was actually entered.
Because what, God can't see him counting?
He has
to get to the end, the very last one, before God's like, oh, I see what you're doing. Right. Oh, you wrote it down. You actually did it. I wondered what you were wandering around doing with your little finger and your mouth moving but not saying any words.
Yeah.
Why you're making everyone get in line.
Of course, if you were actually speaking the words out loud, I would have heard it.
Yeah, but I can't see what you're thinking. Everyone thinks I can, but I can't.
No. And I don't want to.
No. Do you imagine?
Yeah.
You guys are insane.
Somebody should have fixed that.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, it was another weird thing though, where like sometimes you can count, sometimes you can't. It's a odd thing with it's, counting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, and it's another thing think where
God gets mad when people count because he himself
can't count.
Cannot count.
I think so. I think God gets a little jealous.
Yeah.
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 That's probably why God created us. We're probably just his calculator.
They'll do all the work for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He just invented people to count for him.
Right.
We're basically like his Siri.
But when they actually do it and he watches them, he gets kind of mad.
Yeah. You're not doing it right. Deja vu. David assembled at Jerusalem all the officials of Israel, the officials of the tribes, the officers of the divisions that serve the king, the commanders of the thousands, the commanders of the hundreds, the stewards of all the property and cattle of the king and his sons, together with the palace officials, the mighty warriors, and all the warriors. Then King David rose to his feet and said, "Hear me, my brothers and my people. I had planned to build a house of rest for the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, for the footstool of our God, and I made preparations for building. But God said to me, 'You shall not build a house for my name. You are a warrior and have shed blood.' Yet the Lord God of Israel chose me from all my ancestral house to be king over Israel forever. For he chose Judah as leader, and in the house of Judah, my father's house, and among my father's sons, he took delight in making me king over all Israel. And of all my sons, for the Lord has given me many, he has chosen my son Solomon to sit upon the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. He said to me, 'It is your son Solomon who shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be a son to me, and I will be a father to him. I will establish his kingdom forever if he continues resolute in keeping my commandments and my ordinances as he is today. Now, therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the assembly of the Lord, and in the hearing of our God, observe and search out all the commandments of the Lord your God, and you may possess this good land and leave it for an inheritance to your children after you forever. And you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with single mind and willing heart. For the Lord searches every mind and understands every plan and thought. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will abandon you forever. Take heed now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house as a sanctuary. Be strong and act." Very similar to the one we got before, where David was talking just to Solomon and saying, "This is what God said," you know?
Yeah.
It struck me as two different versions of the same story.
Gotcha. Yeah. It would make sense for him to let Solomon know ahead of time.
Maybe. Yeah.
Before he gives this big speech to everyone.
Right. Yeah.
Because could you imagine sitting there with all your brothers and then out of nowhere, your dad's like, "And Solomon is the one who's going to be king after me." And,
right.
And you're just sitting there and you're looking at all your brothers like, "I didn't know this was going to happen."
Yeah. Sure hope none of my siblings kill him. Yeah. It was also very, really, Rang is a
no,
very
yeah, he loves egotistical. Himself so yeah. Much. God chose me. Me. I had all these sons because God loves to let me fuck and make babies. But he gave me too much power and I killed a bunch of people, so I can't build his house.
Yeah. I keep coming back to I bet David didn't give a shit about the temple. I bet all of the whole preparation stuff is all bullshit that they added later.
Yeah.
He probably, Solomon probably decided to do it.
Maybe.
You know, and it was, and then they were just like, but David has to be the one who initiated it.
Right.
You know?
Or legitimately, David was old and I don't want to do this. The people are asking for a temple. I don't know. Obviously, in our minds, it wouldn't have been God asking for a house for his stuff
right.
to be built. But
God needs a footstool.
That was weird. But wasn't there a whole God house thing that we talked about in one of the previous?
We're talking about the tabernacle.
Yeah, where God was like, I don't need a big fancy house.
Yeah, so in a previous episode, there was a story of David starting to put together stuff to build the temple, and God was like, no, I don't want you to build me a house. And
Yeah.
And then that leads to God promising David that his line will be on the throne forever. It was specifically David, I guess.
Yeah.
He didn't want him to build
the temple. Oh, because he made it sound like he just didn't want something fancy.
A temple at all.
Yeah, he wanted a shed. Like a she shed.
A she shed. No.
For his footstool and his box.
Right. Yeah.
I guess it's the footstool so that people can sit next to the box and have chats.
If I remember correctly, the way that conversation went, though, it really was just I'm going to build the temple. And God's like, no, I don't want you to build the temple. I'm going to make your line sit on the throne forever. Mm. And it was there was no resolution to the first part, you know?
I really remember him it being a whole thing that he didn't want something fancy.
Yeah. I do remember him saying something you think I need a house made of cedar and stuff something like that. Yeah.
Give me a lean to.
Right.
Sort of thing.
I guess. Yeah.
But now God's for it. He just doesn't want David to do it because David's killed a bunch of people.
Right. Maybe Solomon needed a project.
Had this. I mean, they are kind of like Nepo babies. Right?
Yeah.
The kids need something to do to keep them busy so they don't get put in jail for drinking and driving again.
So this one doesn't try and overthrow me. Yeah.
Yeah. This is Solomon's sock line.
Sock line.
Yeah, one of the Kardashian kids had a sock line, the boy.
Oh, okay.
The boy.
The boy.
He wants to be a DJ. I guess we'll let him.
Yeah. But you also gotta sell socks. Then David gave his son Solomon the plan of the vestibule and of its houses, its treasuries, its upper rooms, and its inner chambers, and the room for the cover, and the plan of all that he had in mind for the courts of the house of the Lord, all the surrounding chambers, the treasuries of the house of God, and the treasuries of the dedicated gifts, for the divisions of the priests and of the Levites, and all the work of the service in the house of the Lord, for all the vessels for the service in the house of the Lord, the weight of gold for all the golden vessels for each service, the weight of silver vessels for each service, the weight of the golden lampstands and their lamps, the weight of gold for each lampstand and its lamps, the weight of silver for a lampstand and its lamps, according to the use of each in the service, the weight of gold for each table for the rows of bread, the silver for the silver tables, and pure gold for the forks, the basins, and the cups, the golden bowls and the weight of each, the silver bowls and the weight of each, for the altar of incense made of refined gold and its weight, also his plan for the golden chariot of the cherubim that spread their wings and covered the ark of the covenant of the Lord. So, again, listing out a lot of materials that were there that they, are going to want to get recovered.
Also, it sounds like more than just a house.
Yeah, I mean, it's a temple, right? It's going to be a big thing. You've seen the Mormon temple in Salt Lake City, Utah.
Have I?
That's, I'm sure you've seen pictures of it and stuff. It's huge. It's like cathedrals and stuff like that, right?
I feel like it's the instructions on how to build Vatican City.
Yeah. I mean, that's at least what they're portraying.
Yeah. With
it, right. And yet we've never found the ruins to this. You know? That being said, it can be a little hard to dig under Jerusalem sometimes, but you know, we still have not found it.
Yeah, there's like layers and layers and layers of history.
Yeah,
sitting under that city.
It might be that we just haven't been able to find it yet, but it's also a little weird that we haven't found it yet.
Right. Did it actually list the weights?
It didn't. Oh. No, and it didn't. Yeah, like it. It was a weird thing. I was just saying that it's
so like if the chronicler is writing this to give to the Prince of Persia or whoever the fuck it was and be like, here's what was destroyed.
Yeah.
And the Prince of Persia's reading it and he's like, just a weight of gold.
Yeah.
I guess we'll just think about how much a lampstand weighs and just give you that, I guess. I don't know.
How many lampstands were there? Oh, we don't get that number either. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. If that was their intention.
Yeah. I mean, they probably purposely left it vague, too.
You think you'll get, you know, if you leave it open-ended, they'll just...
Yeah. Yeah.
Give you
it's a blank check.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then David says, all this, in writing, at the Lord's direction, he made clear to me the plan of all the works. David said further to his son Solomon, be strong and of good courage and act. Do not be afraid or dismayed, for the Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not fail you or forsake you until all the work for the service of the house of the Lord is finished. Here are the divisions of the priests and the Levites for all the service of the house of God. And with you in all the work will be every volunteer who has skill for any kind of service. Also, the officers and all the people will be holy at your command. Like how he says that God will be with him and everything until all the work is finished.
And I noticed that too.
And God then he'll definitely forsake you.
Right. Yeah. I noticed that as well.
Is another thing they're kind of setting up is that, you know, the writer knows that within just a few generations, it's all fallen apart.
Right.
Yeah, this is after the Northern Kingdom has fallen and the Southern Kingdom has fallen that's written. So they're throwing in little hints to stuff like that. Like right now it's going to be fine. But as soon as you stop obeying the Lord will forsake you.
Yeah.
You
know? I find it hard to believe that God sat down with David and gave him all these numbers.
Yeah.
David made it sound like him and God had this in-depth conversation about all of the minute details.
I know.
Of building this.
Yeah. How often does God ever speak in specifics like that?
I mean, I think he gave him instructions on how to build his God box.
He did. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Is right. Like certain times, yeah, God gets really specific.
Right.
Like throughout Exodus and stuff when he was building the Ark of the Covenant, building the tabernacle.
Right.
That was
Then, that was a fucking tent in a box.
Yeah.
Like, this is like, this is like specifics.
Yeah.
Like, the amount of gold and the number of people and the hierarchy. And I feel.
The instruments.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems crazy to think, if you believed in God, that he was spending this sort of, he was concerned with this level of detail.
Right. Yeah.
That it had to be this specific, considering previously he was just like, I don't need a house of cedar. And now he's like, I do need a house. And then it has to be exactly like this.
Yeah.
And you can't do it. Your son has to. Sorry. Generational burden.
I mean, I would take peace for building a temple, you know.
I guess. Yeah.
I would rather have that life. King David said to the whole assembly, my son Solomon, whom alone God has chosen, is young and inexperienced, and the work is great, for the temple will not be for mortals, but for the Lord God. So I have provided for the house of my God, so far as I was able, the gold for the things of gold, the silver for the things of silver, the bronze for the things of bronze,
the iron for the things of iron and wood for the things of wood. Besides great quantities of onyx and stones for setting, antimony, colored stones, all sorts of precious stones, and marble in abundance. Moreover, in addition to all that I have provided for the holy house, I have a treasure of my own, gold and silver, and because of my devotion to the house of my God, I give it to the house of my God. 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver for overlaying the walls of the house, and for all the work to be done by artisans, gold for the things of gold, and silver for the things of silver. Who, then, will offer willingly, consecrating themselves today for the Lord? Then the leaders of the ancestral houses made their freewill offerings, as did also the leaders of the tribes of Israel, the commanders of the thousands and of the hundreds, and the officers over the king's work. Then the people rejoiced because these had given willingly, for with single mind they had offered freely to the Lord. King David also rejoiced greatly. Kind of feels like the Trump Foundation.
I definitely got like a golden toilet vibe.
Yeah.
From them describing like the silver lined walls and stuff like that.
Interesting how David and Solomon are going to be the ones in charge of this whole fund that they've set up. And they're getting other people to put money in. And they're like, oh, we put money in too to this fund we control.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and it's crazy because he said he provided all of the stuff to make the temple and then provided stuff on top of it that was his. And I'm like, where did the other stuff come from?
Right.
If you're providing, like, did you buy it or did you take it?
Yeah, probably take it.
And then he was like, here's the infrastructure. And then on top of that, I've given this. And then he's like, now who else will give? And I feel like they gave willingly only on paper.
Yeah. Feels like they might have pushed a little bit.
It feels like maybe they realized that probably if they didn't,
something might happen.
Something might happen to them. Yeah. And then they did, and everybody rejoiced because no war was started and no mass massacre took place.
Yeah. They finally just figured out a protection scheme that worked for everybody.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, no wonder they went into a time of peace.
Right.
They just invented the mafia. Yeah.
Well, so I was watching that lecture by Joel Bain, and he pointed out, too, something that I don't think we really covered very well when we were talking about, you remember David, when he comes across that one guy. Oh God, I can't remember what his name was. God ends up killing the guy, and then David ends up marrying his wife Abigail.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And the whole start of that is him going to the guy and basically doing a protection racket, saying like, you know, as long as we've been around, your guys have not had any issues. Like nobody's coming. Messed up your flocks of sheep or anything, you know? So why aren't you going to pay me?
Yeah,
you
know, I'm like, not giving you any money.
Yeah, next thing you know, and it even said that David was going to go kill him and everything, but then all of a sudden God intervenes in it, you know, and kills him for him. And he suddenly has all of the guy's stuff and his wife, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, feels like an episode of The Sopranos.
Right, yeah. We got this one line. Then David blessed the Lord in the presence of all the assembly. It just stuck out to me as like, bless the Lord.
Yeah.
Like, how does somebody bless God?
Yeah.
You know? And then it's like, well, what the fuck is blessing? You know? Like, what does it even fucking mean?
I don't know.
Really?
I don't know. I've always tried to understand when people are like, bless you when you sneeze. Like, I get it's because they used to think that it was like demons.
Demons leaving your body. Yeah.
So they would be like, bless you. And like at church nowadays, but you know, a priest blesses things with like the holy water.
Yeah. But what is it?
Right.
What is the blessing? Like, what is a blessing? And it's like, the only way I can really describe the notion of it in my own mind is God like showing some favor, a little extra favor.
Yeah.
For some reason, for this thing or for this person, you know?
Well, if you follow Christian Instagram people, then it is.
Yeah.
Being blessed is having
a little extra favor.
A little extra from favor. God. Yeah.
Yeah. Which doesn't actually make sense when you think about like how an unchanging God would be able to suddenly give a little extra favor.
Right.
To somebody just because you asked.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, is that all you have to do?
Yeah.
Is that why the people who have cancer have been praying for salvation the entire time?
Hashtag not blessed.
Hashtag you did something bad.
Right. But then here, God, like David is saying to bless the Lord. And it's like, well, what the fuck does that mean?
Yeah.
You know, what would that even mean? Anyway.
And why wouldn't God be like, excuse me, you're blessing me?
Yeah.
But I want to say that I've said that in church before during Catholic Mass.
I'm sure they have.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I'm not saying they've ever questioned it. You know, I'm just saying, I'm questioning.
Right,
what the fuck is this?
Right.
And he goes on to say how great God is. A lot of other translations translate this as God praised the Lord, but a lot use the word blessed. And so I looked up the Hebrew and
David praised the Lord.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. David praised
God.
The Lord.
Praised.
The Lord. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. David praised the Lord. I'm sure God praised the Lord too. I looked up the Hebrew and it's the same word that's used for God blessing people all throughout the Bible. So I'm pretty sure it's meant to be blessed.
Mm. God's like, thanks. I'll put this on my shelf with other shit I don't need.
It's like getting a card. It's like another fucking Father's Day tie or something.
Yeah.
Then David said to the whole assembly, bless the Lord your God. And all the assembly blessed the Lord, the God of their ancestors, and bowed their heads and prostrated themselves before the Lord and the king. On the next day, they offered sacrifices and burnt offerings to the Lord, 1,000 bulls, 1,000 rams, and 1,000 lambs, with their libations and sacrifices in abundance for all Israel. And they ate and drank before the Lord on that day with great joy. They made David's son Solomon king a second time. They anointed him as the Lord's prince and Zadok as priest. Then Solomon sat on the throne of the Lord, succeeding his father David as king. He prospered, and all Israel obeyed him. All the leaders and the mighty warriors, and also all the sons of King David, pledged their allegiance to King Solomon. The Lord highly exalted Solomon in the sight of all Israel and bestowed upon him royal majesty as had not been on any king before him in Israel. Thus David, son of Jesse, reigned over all Israel. The period that he reigned over Israel was 40 years. He reigned 7 years in Hebron and 33 years in Jerusalem. He died in a good old age, full of days, riches, and honor. And his son Solomon succeeded him. Now the acts of King David from first to last are written in the records of the seer Samuel, and in the records of the prophet Nathan, and in the records of the seer Gad, with accounts of all his rule and his might, and of the events that befell him and Israel and all the kingdoms of the earth.
What a way to wrap up a book.
Yeah, it's funny how they say all the kingdoms of the earth because we didn't hear anything about Africa or Asia or Native Americans or anything like that.
They didn't know about that stuff back then.
Yeah, it's almost like...
Although they would have known about Asia because yeah. They were on the fucking...
And Africa.
Crossroads, yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, obviously, unless there was really a deity, they wouldn't have known anything about Native Americans or right. anything like that. So, of course, if you're a Mormon, you think they did know about the Native Americans, though.
That is true.
Yeah. So David's dead.
Yeah. To me, it sounded like he retired and then lived a while before he died. It didn't sound, although they did make it a little bit confusing because we see Solomon become king while his dad's still alive. But in that little snippet, they're like, David died and then his son succeeded him. And it's like, well, no, his son succeeded him. And then he died.
Right.
Later.
I know. It's a little odd. Like, because I will see in Kings if we get any sort of like stories about the between times of like Solomon becoming king and David dying. Mm. But it really does just run together of like Solomon became king and David died. You know?
Okay. So when we first meet David, he's like 12.
We don't really know how old he is, but he's young. Yeah.
And then he goes and stays with
Samuel. No, he doesn't say no. Saul. He stays with Saul. Yeah.
And he's there for a while. I feel like he becomes a man while he's there. Like
right.
He grows up into his. So, but I'm trying to just figure out like he ruled for 40 years and I was like, I'm done. Was he like 60?
Mm.
Or was he like 80?
Yeah, I bet he was probably about 60.
Yeah.
Is my guess.
So, probably I mean, closer he could have had more. I don't know what life expectancy was back then. I imagine for rich people, it was probably pretty long.
Maybe. I don't know.
Compared to like, your average.
That's the thing is you can't even trust person. The Bible on age ranges, you know?
I know.
And I thought it was funny that they made him king a second time, Solomon.
They do that a lot, though. I think they did that with David, too, right?
There was something weird where, like, you weren't really sure when he was king,
right.
when it actually happened. Or it was Saul. I can't remember which one. One of those.
Yeah.
One of those.
I feel like there was a couple of them. Who was the really pretty one?
I think it was Saul.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The one that stood above everybody else.
Yeah. Saul was the tall one.
And hot. Tall and hot.
Yeah.
It's like they do it in a private ceremony.
Yeah.
And then they do it publicly.
Mm-hmm.
So that the people of the kingdom feel like they were involved in making him king, but really they were like, he's been king for a while now.
Right. Yeah. Like when you get eloped, but then you end up having
a reception, a real ceremony,
yeah. like for your.
The people who missed
like,
it.
Yeah. It's like, but really, it's not real.
Right. Because you're already married.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Everybody already knows she's pregnant. Yeah. So that's it for
all done with David.
All done with David for the Book of Chronicles.
Yeah,
and all done with the Book of First Chronicles.
Oh, so there's second.
There's also Second Chronicles. Yep.
Do you think the same chronicler?
Yes, yeah. That is in theory going to be the same chronicler. Yeah, okay. Because it was originally all one book, you know, and then it wasn't until. They apparently, when they were writing the Septuagint, which is this ancient Greek translation of the Bible, that's when they split up these books because of the scroll length, apparently.
I see.
I don't know. But,
and then just nobody ever put them back together.
I guess not. No. Yeah.
When,
and I think
when
even
scrolls became not a measure of how long a chapter it needed to be.
Right. And I think. Even in the in a lot of Jewish Bibles, I think they still have them split up too, which is an interesting thing. It's like, I don't know why you do, but anywho's its. So this was a fun one.
Yeah, it's bureaucracy.
I know, it really is. It was just getting through some boring stuff. I think we're going to get some more interesting stuff. Coming up soon. Though.
I learned aliens existed in the Bible.
Yeah.
David started the mafia.
Mm-hmm.
And also God has very specific wants and needs when it comes to his house.
Yeah. And has very gaudy taste.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Right.
I mean, it's a wonder that it got rated.
In fact, he would probably call his taste gaudy.
That's so stupid.
This is mind-numbing writing this episode.
Oh,
I feel it. Like I really did my best in the readings to like liven them up and stuff. It was kind of fun, like David getting all fucking hoity-toity.
Yeah.
On, like, me.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's his MO, though.
Yeah, he was really into himself. It felt like, it just felt different, though. Like, almost like it was a different story. It was like from a different origin point and stuff. Well, oh, one thing I wanted to talk about that was interesting about this, I had heard, again, from that Joel Baden lecture a while back when I first watched it, he talked about the Chronicler only having the books of Samuels and Kings to go off of and everything. But this, at the end, he talks about having the
Samuel, Nathan.
Nathan and Gad which are apparently books that we don't have, I believe. And we don't know what was in those. So maybe he was going off of those other writings as well, and we just don't have them anymore.
Yeah.
But we don't know. You know, again, it was still ancient history.
Right.
So.
Right. Yeah. Who knows? But it would be, because we talk about the things that they've added, and if he was using these other books, you know, who, maybe it came from those sources. You don't know.
Right.
You know, maybe he wasn't just making it.
Maybe that's why the numbers didn't match in the last one, is because one of those stories had different numbers.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Whereas Samuel said the ones that I mentioned. But
yeah.
Who knows? It would have been nice if God had made sure to include those details in here so that we could understand what happened.
Right.
And why it is the way it is. Yeah. But no, we'll just make random guesses instead. So next time on BSFA, we get David's death according to Samuel and Kings, and we'll see if that is similar to this one.
All right.
If there's differences. And
there will be. Like that.
I'm sure there probably will.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we start getting into the life of Solomon.
Cool. The only thing I know about Solomon is that he said he would cut a baby in half.
Right.
As a test.
And he's considered wise.
The wisdom of Solomon.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how wise Solomon seems when you actually read it.
And that he's got a mine somewhere.
Solomon's mine?
King Solomon's mine. It's a movie. I don't know if it's based on the Bible.
Oh. Sounds like it might be. Maybe that's where they think all the gold came from.
I feel like it's one of those movies that's like a Indiana Jones esque movie that does not have Indiana Jones in it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Like National Treasure.
Yeah, but earlier than that. Okay. Maybe not. Anyway.
And they all live miserably ever after. Just fucking kill this episode.
I wondered when you were going to do it.
Thank you so much for checking out our podcast. Help us grow the audience by sharing us with your friends or giving us a share on social media. And we love hearing from you. You can reach out on our website at bsfa.cc.
Let me keep talking out of my butthole until the whole microphone is covered in shit.